And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. So let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, who is faithful to the end? God is. But it doesn't always appear that way, primarily because now we see dimly. Later on, we'll see it all clear. 1 Corinthians 13:12 states, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." So who, besides our good friend Job, would be an excellent example for us to study in the scriptures of somebody who, by appearance, had tons of life yuck? That would have to be Naomi. She was one of the best cases of what happened that is in Holy Writ. Joseph also, by the way, makes an excellent case, but Naomi must be crowned queen. Her trials were so difficult that Naomi changed her name to reflect her circumstances. Now that is being focused on your situation. I mean, that's the heart of it. She changed her name to Mara, which means bitter. If you think that you're close to where Naomi was, then you can relate to these statements. She had been up, but now she was down. She had high hopes, but hope deferred makes the heart sick, and she was broke and at the bottom. So finally, something entered into Naomi's life that changed her. It wasn't that she won a jackpot. It wasn't that everything changed in a moment. It only takes a moment for a miracle, but that's not what happened for her. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't an angel from God that brought her any relief. It was a sliver. Various words for sliver are flake, fragment, shaving, shred, slice, and snippet. And then it all changed for Naomi.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. And my life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Remember, folks, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And so we're asking you, what do you think? Now, here it is. Ready? You can email us. Super easy, right? David@HeMustIncrease.org. That's David@HeMustIncrease.org. You can text us. What? Live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call for the first time, 972-445-0770, you're going to end up talking to the talented Mr. Jacob.
Hello there, David.
Hello,
how's it going?
Jacob. How you doing, brother? How you doing? You're doing a fabulous job this first day.
Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I really am. And I'm really happy you're doing just right on it. You're right there on all the cues. So, you know, as he gets more and more comfortable, you'll see what'll happen. We become weirder and weirder. So that's just what's going to happen. Congratulations on your future being weird.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm doing good so far. We still have another hour, so we'll see.
We still got plenty of time to mess this up.
Yep.
Trust me, we can do that, by the way. We're really good at that. Anyhow, here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got a praise report. Awesome. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 makes it clear that we're supposed to encourage one another as we see the day of Christ getting closer and closer. And what we want to do is we want to do that by loving one another. We want to help each other. We want to guide each other, strengthen each other, lift each other up, rejoice with each other, and also weep with one another when it's a drag. We want to be all of that because that's how we should be. In doing that, if you have a prayer request, call. And we'll take our faith and put it with your faith. We'll petition the Lord and ask for his grace, mercy, and wisdom. If you've got a praise report, share it because it's such a blessing when people share praise reports. Again, Psalm 40, when the Lord puts your feet upon a rock and a new song in your heart, and people hear it, they trust the Lord. It's like, that's so cool, right? Also, we do Bible trivia. Why do we do that? Because not only is prayer essential in our existence with the Lord, which prayer is the heartbeat of Christianity, but knowing the truth, and yes, God created the universe, the dude can write a book, knowing the truth helps us know what he has to say to us. I just talked to somebody this morning and I said to him straight out, I said, if you were in the Bible more, if you were in the Word of God more, then when God spoke to you, you kind of know what he sounds like. See, that's part of that process right there. So what's the trivia question? Here it is. What are the wages of sin? What are the wages of sin? Is it destruction, defeat, or death? What are the wages of sin? Is it destruction, defeat, or death? Ooh. If you think you know the answer, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can call us. You can email us or do the call. See, I'm not even in sync. It takes me a while. Thanks. All right, so you can call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We have somebody ready to answer. We got a yes, we do. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother. How are you?
Hello, little brother. How you doing?
Good. Man, this guy, Jacob, is so sweet. I deliberately call him, hey, Israel, how are you? And he even didn't say, no, I'm Jacob.
Oh, you got to get ready for some of these people, Jacob. I'm just warning you right now, up ahead of time.
That's his radio name, should be Israel.
That's classic. That's a great one. Right now we're going with this. You know you got to find it. So it takes a little while to get to the right name. So right now we're using the talented Mr. Jacob, and then we use that sound behind us. But we'll see. I mean, if he wants to change it, he's got that freedom. So it'll be a lot of fun to see where it goes. Right? calling him Israel.
Yeah.
That's a good one though. That's a big blessing. At least you got blessed in that name, right? All right, my brother.
Yes.
Here we go. What is the wages of sin? Is it destruction, defeat, or death? What is it?
Death.
That is correct, Amundo. You are right, sir. Yes. And when I was a young Christian, they had this bumper sticker that says, despite inflation, the wages of sin is still the same. I thought that's a good one.
Oh, man, I remember growing up in a Pentecostal church and then seeing those literature. That's the scared the heck out of me. I don't want to even touch those literature. All the hellish pictures were there.
How you doing, brother? How are things going for you?
Good. Hey, no, the reason I called to just ask you to say a prayer for me. Since this morning, I'm just having a little lightheaded on and off, so just pray that. And I'm at work, so just pray that God will do. I don't know what's. One thing is, I didn't have a good sleep last night, so that could be this.
That's a big impact, right? That does affect people without a doubt. Let's pray. Let's bring it before the Lord.
Sure.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up our brother to you. We love our brother. We want you to bless him. Florida, there's not one person who's listening to my voice that doesn't know how difficult it is when you don't get the right sleep, right, everything going on, and you kind of just feel off a step the whole day. And, Lord, we just ask that you give them a surge of energy. People laugh, oh, God doesn't give energy. Lord, your word says specifically that you give strength and power, energizio, to people. So we ask you to just literally give him that. Not just like a monster where he drinks some kind of drink and gets caffeinated. And just give him a vitality of breath and life and strength and endurance to get through the day and to feel better. We lift him up and ask you to bless him. He's a precious brother. We ask you to pour your grace upon him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And I'm still committed to keep praying for the people, those bones issue.
You got it, man. Don't stop praying for them. Never stop.
You know, I would not till the end of this month.
I appreciate you, brother.
Okay, God bless.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, great job there. Okay, so we got a couple other things we got to do. And so some of this is a little newer. I got a lot of people that are welcoming you, Jacob, on the text thing. So you'll hear me say that every so often. So, you know, they're just saying, welcome, 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 that's all. Yeah, they're not getting you cookies yet, so just slow down, okay?
So they're just spamming the phone with welcome
exactly.
text?
Exactly. That's exactly right. All right. We are going to do our DNA because we have to do DNA because if we don't do DNA, then we're just as bad as everybody else who doesn't do DNA. So let's do DNA. So the DNA is and if you want to do it, Jacob, you can. If you don't, I can cover both ends. Up to you.
No, I can do it.
Okay. Oh, feeling good. I love it. All right. There's three things here. The D, the N, and the A. These are our building blocks for what we should be doing on just such a regular basis. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily,
that is correct, the window. And so here's what's important about that. Every day that you breathe oxygen is a day you should spend some time thanking God for that oxygen. Oh, okay. That's a good one. Okay, number two. N, he doesn't have to respond to this one. It's the one after that. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And here's the deal on that. And you know, we've been saying this same thing for the entire time we've been in Dallas, the entire time I've been on radio. It's straightforward. It's just not even complex, not prophetic or anything. The goal here, I know everybody thinks it's politics and so on and so forth. The goal is to ultimately shut down anything the Word of God says. That is the goal. Because you got people now that if they quote a scripture while they're walking in a park can be arrested. It's like, what? Yeah, you think that's a joke? It's not a joke, and it's happening. And it's not just happening in the UK. It's happening in the United States. It's just amazing. It's so bizarre. So never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, because that's the goal of the enemy, to make you ashamed. And then A, the last of these, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means you put your effort for others' sake. It's like, here's how to think of it. You certainly put effort into your own life, right? Isn't it wonderful to think that somebody might come along and help you a little bit and put some of their effort into your life and to bless you? Well, isn't that sound great? Okay, then do that. In order to receive that, be that. In order to get that, give that. And you'll find out that's effectively following in the steps of Jesus. That is our DNA. Excellent job for your first time, by the way. So very, very
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to take our break here, and then we'll come back and get into the message and all the other stuff. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon Experience.
I want you to catch something because for some reason the church feels the need to over-answer cultural changes that take place. Look at Jesus. He didn't care about anyone's opinion. That's what it says right in the text. And you do not care about anyone's opinion. Jesus didn't go, yes, I do. No, he didn't. He didn't. He never, because he didn't. That's exactly right.
He didn't. That's why.
He is true. So they said, we know that you are true and teach the way of God. That's aletheis. which means speaking the truth completely, nothing hidden, being real. He teaches the way of God correctly. That's a leletheus, which is the case is according to the fact, and doesn't care about anyone's opinion. The Greek word here literally means does not look at people's faces. In other words, when you're doing radio, I can't see faces except for Captain Chris, okay? I can't see if your face is giving approval or denial, because the only way that happens is by text or phone or whatever the case may be. When an actor acts, they can look on stage and see with the audience if there's approval. Jesus didn't seek people's facial approvals. He didn't care. And you think, well, no, he cared plenty. No, he cared about the mission to save the lost. He didn't care about those who were going to reject in the capacity that he sought their approval. He never sought their approval. He didn't live for people's positive responses to him. He walked at the pleasure of the Father. Whatever the Father wanted him to do or say, that's what he did. Which is when you'll hear me say, we do it for the author and not the audience. Because I think some of you people are literally some of the nicest people I have ever met in my human journey. But you still don't have a heaven to put me in. And that's what it comes down to. And I know that says, that sounds so, you know, harsh or whatever. It's like, are you serious? Okay. If the Lord tarries and I die, you are not going to help me. I just don't really know the way to say it. You know what I'm saying? And so I want you guys to catch that. To catch, this is why Jesus was so different. It's because he spoke the truth, he said it according to what the truth was, and he didn't seek people's approval in sharing. He just was like, look, I'm telling you exactly what the Father told me to say. This is exactly how the Spirit's leading me, exactly what the Father wants to be said. And then you look at that and you go, ooh, how about us?
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Got our next trivia question that we're getting ready for, and we're going to offer that up to you. This is a kind of a classic one. I don't think a lot of people have a struggle, but I can tell you in the two that are coming after that, much harder. They're much harder. I'm just telling you now. Here's this trivia question, though. According to Ephesians, which of these is the Word of God? The Sword of the Spirit, the Justice League, or the Sword of Justice? Which of these is the Word of God? The Sword of the Spirit, the Justice League, or the Sword of Justice? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So there's three different answers for this one. You can do the 1, 2, 3 or the ABC. That really doesn't matter. According to Ephesians, what is the Word of God? The Sword of the Spirit, the Justice League, or the Sword of Justice? We'll give you a chance to work on that. If you want to call in, you're welcome to do so. In the meantime, we're going to get into our teaching because this is a really, really, really good teaching. We're just going to go right into the book of Ruth. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5, and you're just going to see how this started off and why it can run into difficulty, even if you're a believer in the Lord. Ruth chapter 1, we're going to pick up pretty much on, this is like 1 through 3, maybe a nicer way to do that. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. That's the best I can do. His wife's name was Naomi. The name of their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites, boy, I can't even talk today. That's good. From Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab to live there. Now, Elimelech and Naomi's husband died, and she was left with her two sons. Then what happened? Well, you guys know what happened. Then the two sons died. It's okay. So I just want you to stop being, whatever your situation is, follow this. We're going to go here and do this because there's a famine here and we have a new chance to go over to this place. Here we go, everybody, yay! So the husband and the two kids, the two boys go with them. And while they're there, right, they end up marrying these girls and that's great, right? And then the husbands and the sons die. And they're broke. So before you tell me, well, I'm in a tough situation, I just want you to think how tough that would be. Your husband passes away while you're in the midst of this new opportunity journey. Your boys pass away. And so what Ruth did is she said, look, she said, girls, she said, so you have these girls that married that are wonderful. They tried to be committed. They loved Naomi, right? And she goes, girls, you got to go home. I got to go back. It's a mess. I mean, that's a mess, right? Verse 19 of chapter 1. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred. And this, by the way, what happened? I skip this on purpose, so my fault. So what happened is that Ruth said, I'm not leaving you. And so she stayed with Naomi. She wasn't going to go anywhere. And so, I'm sorry about that. So Ruth said, I ain't going anywhere. I'm hanging out with you. We're in this together to the end, no matter what. Now, verse 19. So the two women went back till they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. The woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord Almighty brought misfortune on me. Okay, now, don't tell me this isn't in the similar league with Job. This is like right up there. It's like, this is like Job and Naomi, Job and Naomi. And here's what her thing is. The Lord did this. I am not happy. So now you know for sure that people who believe in God, truly believe in God, have these moments. You cannot change these moments because what? They're real. They happen. And so what she's doing is she's just crushed, right? She's crushed. Have you ever been crushed? Have you ever been crushed like this? This is a lot, right? Your husband dies, your two kids die, you go. And just that one line, she says this one line, which is amazing. She says, verse 21, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Who doesn't feel, don't you not feel sorry for her? How do you not look up to the Lord and go, hello, right? Or how do you not do that for yourself? Here's the ticket, right? Chapter 2, verse 2. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up some leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I can find favor. So here, Ruth is trying to help the situation. Let me at least go and try and do something because this is a disaster. Naomi says to her, go ahead, my daughter. She's at the end. She doesn't want people to call her by her name. She's changed her name. She's bitter. She's hurt. She's wounded. Okay, I'll just ask this question again. Have you ever been wounded? Really difficult, right? Now, as all this is going on, and you're thinking, you got to kind of put yourself there where Naomi is. No husband, so the person you would be willing to go anywhere with, that's gone. No boys, so guess what's not happening to your lineage? That's over. His family history is over. Bye. All of it's done. She's too old. Nothing else is going to happen. But amazingly, Ruth will not depart from her. She stays with her, and then she says, look, I can go out in the fields and pick up what's left over, because in the laws of Israel, there had to be a freedom for once you went through your fields and pick stuff up, that you don't pick every single little piece up so that people who are poor could come in behind and get food. Leave some for them. So that's what she was asking permission to do. She said, I want to, you know, function in that poor person element. And in that poor person element, here's what I want to be. I just want to get some food for you and I. We can eat. Otherwise, we're going to starve. So when Ruth said, sure, go ahead, or Naomi said to Ruth, go ahead, Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley and gathered it in the amount of about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law had saw how much she gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over when she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose workplace she had been working at. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. Well, the Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is our kinsman redeemer. Just stop real quickly. I'll explain kinsman redeemer in a second. But this is what I want you to pick up on. This is the whole message. Ready? It only has one little part in the whole thing. Ready? Disaster, 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 sliver of hope. I mean, seriously, bad, 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 bad. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. When you're in a situation and it goes kind of ugly, and then you even say to yourself, this is going from bad to worse. Or that's when you say in the back of your head, the universe is against me. You know, it's all that stuff, right? But there's this moment that there's a sliver of hope. Let me explain this real quickly, and then we'll break after that, and I'll give the trivia answer, and then we'll break. A kinsman redeemer is a person that protected the interests of the needy members of an extended family. They provided an heir for a brother who died, or they would redeem land that was sold out of the family because of poverty. They would redeem a relative sold into slavery. They would avenge the killing of a relative. It's a pretty serious position. And it turns out that Boaz was one of those. But what was caught by Naomi is the sliver. Wait. I see a little bit of light cracking through the darkness. Wow. All right, so I'm going to answer the trivia question, then we're going to take our break. According to Ephesians, what is the Word of God? Is it the sword of Spirit? Is it the Justice League? Or is it the sword of justice? And the answer is, it's the sword of the Spirit. Hello, that is what the Word of God represents in Ephesians chapter 6. We will take our break, then we'll come back for more on this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Most of my
life, it feels like I've been running. Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
with his special guest today, Focus on the Family trauma specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. I mean, until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly, and that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finished my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace. How sweet.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So we are going to do our trivia question. This is a harder trivia question. Then after we do the trivia question, we're going to send you up to the website because we always do that little bump there. I want you guys to know that right now we are operating with Jacob, with the nickname, the talented Mr. Jacob, but I'm already getting other nicknames from the audience for you, so you just better be ready, and it's up to you, ultimately, but the last one that came in was from Aunt Deb calling you Jammin' Jacob.
I do like that one.
That is pretty good, yeah. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So keep that in mind. You're going to get to pick, so that'll be up to you. In the meantime, let's get into our – and you're doing an excellent job, so I just want you to know that. Let's get into our trivia question. Not an easy trivia question. I don't know how to say this any easier. Not an easy trivia question. Well, that's one way to say it. Who was the first king of the divided Israel, the first king of the northern tribe? Was that Jehoshaphat, Jeroboam, or Jehu? Don't tell me it's one of them that starts with a J, because I know that's how I set that up. Is it Jehoshaphat, Jeroboam, or Jehu? The question is, who was the first king of the divided Israel, became the known as the Northern Tribe? If you think you know the answer, that's a good question right there. I told you a little bit harder. If you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So it's a very interesting question. It's just, you know, like most people think that they probably know it. I think we do have somebody that is probably ready. If you do have somebody ready, you send them through. Give me the thumbs up. There you go. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
Good, Gary. And I'm glad you called, because I need to pray for my daughter's family, and it's a good time to kind of put you together with that prayer. So, but let's do the trivia first. But how you feeling? About the same?
Yeah, I'm still praying. And how's your wife doing?
She's doing better, but she's had like a week's worth of sickness, and she did really great until yesterday about 7:30, and then she started to, she said she started to feel kind of like yucky. So it was just, you know, it was just like, I think she's on the tail end of this is what's going on, but I definitely should be praying for, we prayed last night, and I'll pray over you as well. But I thank you so much for asking, because a lot of people, they don't keep that in mind, and being sick is a drag, and being ill is a drag. None of those things are fun.
and that she's still got to do 10 hours.
I'll continue to pray for her.
Yeah, please do so. And I'll give you an update as soon as when she's better, you'll hear me say that. But yeah, you just got to keep her in prayer. But let me do the trivia first, and then I'll pray for you guys. Who was the first of the divided, or the northern tribe, who was the first king of Israel? Is it Jehoshaphat, Jeroboam, or Jehu?
It was Jeroboam.
That is correct, Amundo. You are right, sir.
And I believe the southern, it was Rehoboam.
That's exactly correct. So it started off with Rehoboam and then Jeroboam. And it's what's amazing is he's actually the king in the northern tribe that let anybody be a priest. And that's really – that really did – it's like, you know, equal opportunity for everybody. Everybody can be a priest, even if you're not supposed to be a priest. And everybody became a priest. Anyone who wanted to pay for it, they could be it. And then they turned into nothing but disaster and did nothing but commit adultery and idolatry. And it's just like terrible. So anyway, that's a good lesson right there. But let me pray over you and pray over Noelle and then pray for my daughter, Julianne. Her whole family is, you know, when one person gets sick, they're kind of tight quarters. Then everybody gets sick and they got an everybody sick thing going on. So let me pray for them as well. So let's bring it before the Lord. Father, I lift up my precious brother Gary, and I just ask you to physically touch him with the healing power that comes through the stripes of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we are healed. We ask you to apply that scripture to Gary's life. I just ask you to heal him, not a little, not just a touch, but a full anointed healing that comes from your presence and your power. I mean, just change him. We lift up Noelle. I love my wife so much, and I just ask you just to let her feel good, energized, strengthened, away from any sickness and illness. Just let her put a great distance between that. And then I lift up my daughter, Julianne, and Jared, and the kids, and just pray that, Lord, you would help them in their situation. You know it's difficult for them, but what we pray is not just that you would heal them, but in their case, they need encouragement, because they keep going through this in a repetitive nature. Give him the very sliver of hope that we are talking about in this message. And bless my brother Gary. Just for remembering about Noel, I just pray you bless him with a special way so he can know how appreciated I am for him bringing that up. We thank you for all these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. And I'll continue to pray for her and for all of you. And God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right, so we're going to wait on the history or anything else. I'm just telling Jacob so he can know that he doesn't have to worry about that, because I'm going to go into the teaching, because this next part is just like, I just love this stuff. Okay, so here it is, right? Okay, so we're just talking about Naomi and Ruth, okay? So Naomi and Ruth, they come back. Poor Naomi. She's just like terrible. It's terrible, bad. This is bad. Everything's bad. She went away full. Now she's empty. And she's changed her name to Bitter. Because why? Because she's bitter. I mean, that's why. She's feeling it. I mean, this isn't a one day or even a one week scenario. This is like in a lifetime. This is years of this is not good. Right? Husband dies, kids marry, boys die. It's horrible. So she comes back. She's empty. Now she broke at the bottom. So nothing's going good. And then there's this small sliver of hope, and it comes from the Kinsman Redeemer part. And I want to read it again and then take you from that point to the next point. So here's what it happens. And I'm going to say it again so you can follow it. This is Ruth chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley that she had gathered in the mount of the ephah. She carried it back to the town to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law saw how much she gathered. Ruth also brought out what and gave her what she had left over and had eaten enough. The mother-in-law asked, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." The Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place it had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz." "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and to the dead." She added, "That man is a close relative, our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Now, why that's important is because there was actually another kinsman redeemer in their clan that was closer. But again, I want you to understand the kinsman redeemer responsibility. In a family, there are those that are that do decent. In a family, there's those that do well. And there are, in a family, those that don't do very well and need lots of extra help. But there's always in a family one person typically that is like in the family clan. And so we're not talking about just a single family, but a whole family clan. Somebody who's just like, that's the reliable one. That's the one you count on. That's the person. A kinsman redeemer protected the interests of any needy family member in the extended family realm. Again, I want you to understand this, because you find out in Scripture that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. So therein lies that big connection. They provide an heir for a brother who died in order to carry on the family name, be it themselves or somebody they're connected to. They redeem land that was sold because people are broke. People sell whatever they have just to survive. They redeem a relative who's actually sold into slavery. They buy him back. Or they actually can avenge the killing of a relative if the person did an unjust killing and the person doesn't go to the city where there was the opportunity to have it as a court case. So Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. And this is what I want you to understand. This moment right here is a moment for Naomi more than Ruth. I'm going to tell you why. Because right after this, Ruth starts thinking about this. Now listen to what I'm saying. She starts thinking about the sliver. After she starts thinking about the sliver, when it's been very dark, this is what happens. This is in Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will go winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He'll tell you what to do." And what I want you to catch out of this is not all the customs. You're missing it. If you're thinking about what the customs are, you're not following what the Scripture is communicating here, or the main part of what the Scripture is communicating. Ruth had presented to Naomi this, look, I got blessed here, look. And then Naomi's like, all right, wow, this man's a kinsman redeemer. And the next thing that happens is for Naomi has a fresh point of view and perspective on everything. See, what happened is it was a disaster, it was dark, it was terrible, it was awful, it was I can't say it any different, okay? Then this sliver of hope comes. Then Naomi goes, wait a second. Hold on here. That sliver of hope has enlightened my mind. Just a second, girl. I got a plan for us. And it's a complete change of spirit from a sliver of hope. Just like, what? She had that one moment, and then she had an infiltration of the kingdom of God into her heart and mind. And now everything is looking different. Now just think about that. That's the power of hope. Everything starts to look different. Okay, we're going to take our break, come back. There's more to do. We'll be here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing, but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated. Knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been, organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip, and in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone. I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone. The question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question, is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every penalty.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We're going to do our last trivia question. It's a really good question. Then we're going to fire into the history, okay? And then we'll do the closing of the show, okay? So far, Jacob, doing phenomenal. Just loving it. Great job, brother. Okay, here we go. Ready? This is a great, great question. Who tried to rebuke Jesus? Was it Herod, Peter, or Paul? Who tried to rebuke Jesus? Herod, Peter, or Paul? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we are going to take a moment and head up into history. Let's do our history intro.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, for those that do not know, today is National Chocolate Milk Day. Okay, I like chocolate milk. You like chocolate milk?
Not a lot.
Okay.
But
do you like chocolate shakes?
Not
a lot?
Yeah.
Vanilla?
Yeah, not a big chocolate person, to be
honest. Not a big chocolate person?
Yeah.
I gotta hang out with you more often.
Right.
I have a bad weakness there. That's just, it's not good for me. Right. Trust me. Trust me. Jacob doesn't know the full story. I'm up 30 pounds from when I first originally came here. Well, actually, I was up 30 pounds. Now I'm down the 30 pounds. But I had a leg thing where my leg decided not to have a kneecap. Anyway, that was fun. today is also Family Day. That's good. Everything, you know, not Family Guy Day, just Family Day. That's what that is. Morning Show Hosts Day. I don't know what is that? Was it just morning show hosts like in television or radio or?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a very random one.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird one. This one I love because you guys know me. I love this, love this, love this. First 3D television or first 3D movie
First 3D movie, Power of Love. The viewer wore special glasses, one red, one green lens, allowed the viewer to choose either a happy or tragic ending depending on which lens of the glasses they looked through. I just think that's just, why aren't they doing that now?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I didn't even know that was like a thing.
Yeah, that's 101 years ago.
That's crazy. That would be really cool to have movies where you can choose the ending.
Yeah, I'm going to change the ending. I love it. 1937, the first Santa Claus training school in Santa Claus School of Albion in New York opened up. And then finally in 1954, The Tonight Show aired for the first time. There you go. On this day. Wow. Good job on the history. Okay, last on the triv, we'll do it one more time, and then I'm going to finish up on the teaching because this teaching is really cool. And then I'm going to ask Jacob to remind me to do trivia so I don't forget as we exit. Who tried to rebuke Jesus? Was it Herod? Was it Peter? Or was it Paul who tried to rebuke Jesus? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. There you go. All right. So now we've already gone through this, and I want to make sure that we kind of stay in sync. Somebody is calling in, so we do want to have them a chance to answer that. But that's all right. I'll still get the time in. So fear not. Okay? Fear not. So if we do have somebody who's ready to answer the trivia question, what we'll do is Jacob will stick his thumb up in the air. That's how we do it, is he sticks his thumb up in the air so I can see that, and then he sends them over. And so do we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Yes, we do. Send him on over. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Frank in North Texas.
Hi, Frank in North Texas. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you. And thank you very much for saying that. And I'm glad to have you call.
I try to catch your show occasionally when I can.
I appreciate that.
I enjoy it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. Ready? Are you ready for the triv question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who tried to rebuke Jesus? Was it Herod, Peter, or Paul?
Paul.
Okay. Wait. Let's do it again. Who tried to rebuke Jesus? Now, was it, this is Jesus, Herod, Peter, one of the disciples, or Paul? Tried to rebuke him, not kill him.
Peter.
That's right. Correct. Come on now. You got it. I knew what you were thinking. That was actually really good. And I just was sort of redirecting your thoughts going, no. Like right after he said something really good, he said something really bad.
I was redirected.
But you did an excellent job. Very, very good, Frank. Excellent, excellent job. Way to do that. That was a way to do it. Really perfect.
Hey, thank you. And I truly enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Call anytime.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah, God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
All right. Are we having fun today or what? This is fun. Okay. Now listen, this is really good. I only got like 4 minutes to end it, so let me do this. Really good. Okay. We already talked about, you know, Naomi. Tough. Changed her name to Mara because she was bitter. She went away full, came back empty. Really mad at God. Okay? I mean, that's the truth. Then, sliver of hope, kinsman redeemer, sliver of hope, and that changed her attitude. Her attitude changed. Now, what I want you to see is how far it can move from an attitude change. I don't think people recognize how far this went. Let me just say this real quickly. Afterwards, It's Boaz who hooks up with Ruth. They get married. They have a child. Here's the next thing that it said in chapter 14, verses 14 through 17. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout all Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms, cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son." See that? Naomi changed her name back from Mara, and they named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Big deal. Oh, here's the big deal. In the redemption and in the restoration, this woman went from no lineage to being the great-great-grandma of King David. Like, what? She went from nothing to being directly responsible for Jesse, for Obed, for Jesse, and then for David. She was the great-great-grandma of King David. See, Naomi went away and she became bitter, and it was a bitter situation, and she changed her name, and at the end of the book, her name is changed back, technically, because now they're all going to call her Naomi because she's so blessed now. And this just shows you that 1 Thessalonians 5:24 really comes into play, where it says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. It may not happen the way you want. It may not happen in the time frame you want. It may not happen in the methodology you want. In fact, I can promise you it won't happen in the methodology or the timing that you want. But when God makes a commitment to help his kids, it never ends. It never fails. It never yields. It never surrenders. And just listen to the simplicity of this. This is where we are in God through Jesus Christ. Like, what? Yeah. And so what's even more amazing, right, and I think everybody knows, right, is this whole process. I mean, this woman, she's a part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You getting that? I mean, I think, you know, whatever her kids would have done would have been great. But this is pretty, pretty on top, pretty redemptive, pretty strong in restoration, pretty strong in deliverance and healing. There's some of you out there that need to know this can happen for you. So how we're going to close the show is I'm going to pray for you, that you hold on to the sliver of hope. So let me pray, and then we'll exit. Father, we come before you right now, and there's people listening to my voice right now that need this sliver of hope, which can then change their attitude, which can then open the door for redemption and restoration. Please allow them to see the light break through the darkness and change their lives forever. Only you can do it. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, folks, that's it for today's show. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Just as I am,
you reach down. Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.